You've just been elected president, and you've got to make sure the workforce is behind you. The American Council for Technology Industry Advisory Council, or ACT-IAC, has produced a series of transition reports, among them recommendations for human capital. Jeff Neal, former personnel chief at Homeland Security, co-led this paper for ACT-IAC. He discussed some of the ideas with Federal News Radio's Eric White.
The first one is staffing the administration rapidly. One of the things we've seen recently is that it's taking longer and longer for political positions to be filled. Some of that's because of the slowness of confirmations in the Senate. Some of it's just that the Obama administration has been taking too long to nominate people for jobs. And for example, the deputy director of OPM has been vacant for, I think, about 5 years now. And so what we're proposing is that they move much more quickly to fill those positions. And ACT-IAC actually, in looking at this, was so impressed with work that the Partnership for Public Service has done with respect to the appointment process that in our report, we recommended that the administration adopt all of the recommendations from the Partnership for Public Service. And I provided a link to the partnership report in my piece. The second thing is to look at how they're going to meet their talent needs early on in the administration for career jobs. And what we recommend is making much better use of existing authorities that we have right now. And for example, there's an authority for critical position pay that allows agencies to pay people much more than typical federal salaries for positions that are really mission critical and very difficult to fill. That authority's hardly ever been used. It's actually rarely used. And so we recommend that they make full use of that.
And tying that into the technology part of the report, could they use that to somewhat fill the cyber positions that have gone unfilled or that DOD and several other agencies say, hey, we need more people here?
Absolutely. The authority allows about 800 jobs like that. And the last time I checked, there were only a couple of dozen. So it's an authority that's underused and could make a huge difference in competing for really, really hard-to-fill positions. The other thing that could be used much better is the recruiting and retention bonus authority that's authorized and has been authorized for years under the Federal Employees Pay Comparability Act. It started getting used, then OMB and OPM decided agencies were using the authority too much and told them to back off. And we recommend that they actually use those authorities, recognize that there are going to be some very critical occupations like cybersecurity where government is going to have to pay more to compete, and they need to look at everything they can to do that. The other thing is that it's perfectly legitimate when you have a job that's very difficult to fill to move it out of the competitive service and move it into the accepted service. We actually did that with some of our cybersecurity jobs at DHS when I was the chief human capital officer there. And OPM worked with us to do that. As a matter of fact, OPM turned around our request to do that in about 2 weeks. So it's not something that would be difficult to get through OPM. And what we were looking at here is what could they do using the existing processes to make things work better. And the next thing is to embrace the industry employee base as a critical talent asset. If you look at how information technology work is done in government right now, it's done with a blended workforce that's made up of federal employees, contractors, and grantees. And right now, when people are looking at workforce planning and how they manage workforce programs, they tend to only look at the federal employees, even though in technology jobs, there are a lot of contractors doing that work too. And our belief is that the agencies need to plan for those assets, those talent assets, comprehensively and do it looking at the entire workforce and what their requirements are everywhere. What we find is when we talk to agencies is that generally the human capital people work with agency leaders on workforce planning for the civilian workforce, and then the contracting people or program managers are worried about the contractor workforce. And we think that planning should be done jointly, and that it should be looking at the entire workforce who's carrying out those technology missions, not done in the piecemeal fashion that it is right now. And of course, the last one that I mentioned previously is comprehensive civil service reform. And when you look at the federal civil service laws and regulations, it's mostly a system that was designed in the mid-20th century. Back then, around the time I was born 60 years ago, the workforce was mostly clerks. In fact, more than half of federal employees were clerks at GS-5 and below. And now, more than half of federal employees are GS-11 and above. So the workforce has changed dramatically. And all the requirements for talent in government have changed dramatically. But we're trying to meet those requirements using an antique personnel system and process. And so it's really out of date. And what we recommended is that the president create a commission on public service comprising people from government, industry, and academia to design a comprehensive and budget-neutral approach to civil service reform. 21st century version of the senior executive service that has much greater accountability. We'd like to see a peer review process for adverse actions, which is very similar to some of the things the United States military does, and a performance-based pay process that's linking executive pay and agency outcomes.
A lot of those reforms that you mentioned are based on, you know, there's a lot of heavy emphasis on performance. Is part of the problem that not a lot of people or nobody really knows what characterizes good performance? You know, what is it? Saving money? Is it you know, just not breaking any rules? Have you guys looked into that at all?
As part of this, we didn't go into great depth on performance. I can tell you from previous work I've done on performance that there are a number of problems with the way the government does performance evaluations now. Not the least of which is that when you ask people what the objective of their performance appraisal process is, most people can't tell you. And so, you know, if you say, okay, is it to motivate people to perform better? Oh, yeah, it does that. Is it to deal with poor performance? Oh, yeah, it does that. Is it to determine what kind of training they might need? Oh, yeah, it does that. And what you find is that if you say to them, okay, did you specifically design it for any of those things? Oh, no. So when you have a process that wasn't designed from the beginning with very specific goals in mind, it's no wonder that it doesn't meet any of those goals. And it would be a pretty big accident if it did. And so what we end up with is agencies are using performance appraisal processes where they don't understand why they developed them. They don't really know what the objectives are. They weren't designed to meet any particular objectives. And they actually don't really drive much of anything. One thing that I would recommend any performance appraisal process do is recognize where people need more training. If your objective for Betty Lou is that she do three things, and at the, you know, it's a mid-year review, you conclude that Betty Lou doesn't actually have the skills to do one of those things, that tells you you need some training. So you would think that the process would be very tightly linked to the agency's training processes and their training planning, but in most agencies it's not. And so what you end up with is these performance appraisal processes that really don't do anything other than get the workforce riled up, waste a lot of managers' time, and really accomplish virtually nothing. So we really need to completely rethink performance management in government and rethink it from the ground up, beginning with why are we doing it? What is the objective of this process? And if we can't lay that out, then we have a process that's really wasting millions and millions of dollars every year, and it's accomplishing virtually nothing.
Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF International and co-author of the ACT-IAC Transition Paper on Human Capital, speaking with Federal News Radio's Eric White.